CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the nation's capital.
I'm Andrew Mullen back in Washington. Down MLK Avenue.
Happy birthday, Martin Luther King.
The parade is a chance to celebrate and to remember the next generation on what it's learned about King's message.
Black people and white people be friends together.
Try to keep people from hurting other people.
Andrew Mullen back for CBS News, Washington.
In South Carolina, where Republicans campaign for the presidential nomination and the primary coming up on Saturday, people at the state capitol in Columbia gathered for Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Thousands of people walked from a local church here in the state house. But beforehand, there were hundreds of people already set up there. They had their chairs waiting. They had their kids. You saw multiple generations. I spoke with a grandmother who was there with her daughter, who was there with her kids. There's really kind of a sense of history here. Family members want to pass down to their generation.
WLTX TV reporter Lauren Tallarico. It's the Republican race for president, minus one. John Huntsman called it quits today.
Despite our differences and the space between us on some of the issues, I believe that candidate is Governor Mitt Romney.
He says Mitt Romney is the one who can beat Barack Obama. His departure leaves five in the race. Romney, Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, Ron Paul, and Rick Santorum will all be on stage in another debate tonight. Using the same password for everything online, it's kind of like using the same key for all the locks in your life. At issue, the hack attack on the online shoe seller Zappos.
Hackers didn't get full credit card numbers, but they did get email addresses, billing and shipping addresses, and phone numbers. The company said that it reset everyone's passwords and recommends that if they use the same password elsewhere, they change them on those sites as well.
CBS News and CNET tech consultant Larry Magid. The captain of the capsized Costa Concordia cruise ship has claimed that the rocks he hit are not on the nautical chart. That argument is being taken apart in Italy. CBS's Alan Pizzi explains.
The Italian coast is probably one of the best charters in Europe, if not the best. Everybody knows where everything is. The rocks that he hit are well known to scuba divers, for example, because this is one of the best scuba diving areas in Italy. And there are plenty of yachts out here. It's a holiday island, and it's well charted. And he was well inside the line that he should have been well outside of.
16 people are still unaccounted for, and weather is getting worse. The ship has shifted slightly, and there is some concern it could slip backward and sink in deep water. A small plane told to circle until a runway was available at Frederick, Maryland, ran out of gas while making circles. The pilot tried to switch tanks to a fuller tank, he says, but didn't have time, so he landed in a farm field near the airport. No one was hurt, but no one is happy about it either. This is CBS News.
I like my insurance like I like my burrito, with everything rolled into one. Was in a state of craving, amigo, so my agent showed me how it's done. He wrapped up my auto, my home and my life. The discounts I'm getting are great. Everything good right there on one plate. Get to a better state, State Farm.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Once was, illegally crossing the border into the U.S. was enough to earn a trip back home. Not anymore. Now that new policy's under review, CBS's Whit Johnson.
Just before Christmas, immigration agents picked up Jorge Giron and his wife Maria Elena for an old deportation order.
I'm not a criminal.
Jorge was released. His wife was deported. But soon, because of a new policy handed down by the Obama administration, families like the Girons may avoid separation. Director of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, John Morton.
If you're having to decide between putting someone who's lived in this country for a very, very long time or somebody that's committed a crime, start with a person that has committed a crime.
Morton wrote in a June memo that agents will have to prioritize each case, considering things like a person's length of presence in the U.S., military service, and criminal history.
Reviews of suspended deportations are planned all across the nation this week. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Does being over 40 make you feel like half the man you used to be? Do you feel tired, out of shape? Is your romantic life suffering? It's not your fault. You may have reduced testosterone, but now, for the first time ever, you can boost testosterone levels safely and naturally to feel more like you did 20 years ago. Introducing Ageless Male, a breakthrough supplement clinically proven to increase testosterone levels by 61% and within a healthy, normal range. Today, you can try it risk-free. So if you'd like to experience what healthy testosterone levels can feel like, more energy, better mood and focus, and more romance when you want it, you really need to give Ageless Male a try. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-741-0439. 1-800-741-0439. 1-800-741-0439.
Now, here's Bill Benica.
Wonder and his dedicated song to Martin Luther King Jr. Happy birthday to you. Hi, happy birthday to you on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You're Bill Becker. Thanks for joining my Talk is Cheap today. It was a quite exciting sports weekend. And then we have quite an exciting sports weekend coming up again. And by tomorrow night, did you hear the weather was going to be tomorrow night? They're getting back at us now. Mother Nature said, okay, I've been really nice to you, but now I'm going to whoop you. 29 degrees is supposed to be tomorrow night in San Luis Obispo. 29. There's no number like that in the Central Coast. 29. Hey, so cover up your plants and whatnot. We're gonna have today. We're gonna have some Martin Luther King Jr. speeches, the two of his famous ones, "I Have a Dream" and "I've Been to Mountaintop," and then and the other one is I think I'm gonna have some Golden Globe songs that were nominated for the Golden Globe and who won. And let's see what else today. We're gonna have a little excerpt here from what happened on that ship, that crazy Costa Concordia. Do you know what it sounds like was going on at this point? This is what they're saying. The captain of the ship, who, by the way, left the ship and went ashore while the thing was sinking, captain of the ship apparently was showing off. Okay? Was showing off because there were people right there on the shore, and he came within 150 yards, and he thought that'd be kind of cool to be able to bring the ship really close and go by them and all that. So that's what it's looking like. Now, we'll see at this point. But anyway. Can I suggest something to the captain of the ship? If you want to show off, don't do it with a 4,000-passenger cruise ship. If you want to show off, do it on a unicycle. Only one person's in trouble then.
With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slow Town and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Did you know that MRI technology changes as rapidly as computers or cell phones? San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art medical technology so patients on the Central Coast have the best medical care available. That's why they just replaced their MRI scanner with a Siemens Skyra, the new gold standard in MR imaging. This 3 Tesla MRI is the only one of its kind in California, and there are only two others in the United States. This system has 8 times the resolution of other MRIs, giving your doctor the most accurate high-resolution images in history. Plus, it's 5 times faster, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. It's also the most open MRI in existence and virtually eliminates claustrophobia. You have a choice when it comes to where you get an MRI. Tell your doctor you want the best MRI technology available. Choose the fastest, most advanced MRI made, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
That's true. San Luis Diagnostic. Right there, they got the whole thing right there. All right, let's do today our Who's is and What's is according to History Day and what's going on here. And there's exciting things today because our Highland history on January 16, 1912, the day before reaching the South Pole, British explorer Robert Scott and his expedition were bitterly disappointed to find evidence in the form of a rock cairn and dog sled track showing that Roald Amundsen of Norway had his team had gotten there ahead of them. Scott and his party perished during the return trip. It's like a two-time loser. 1547, Ivan the IV of Russia, probably known as Ivan the Terrible, was crowned Tsar. And he was terrible. They had a thing on PBS the other day about it. It's like, holy cow. 1920, Prohibition began in the United States as the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution took effect 1 year to the day after its ratification. It was repealed later by the 21st Amendment. 1942, actress Carol Lombard and her mother Elizabeth and 20 other people were killed when their plane crashed near Las Vegas while en route to California from a war bond promotional tour. 10 years ago, Richard Reed was included in Boston, was indicted in Boston on federal charges attempting to try to blow up a U.S.-bound jetliner with explosives hidden in his shoes. Reed later pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison. 5 years ago, Senator Barack Obama of Illinois launched a successful bid for the White House. 1 year ago, The Social Network won top movie honors at the Golden Globe with 4 prizes, including Best Drama and Director. Our birthdays today, opera singer is Marilyn Horne is 78, talk show host Dr. Laura Schlesinger is 65, movie director John Carpenter is 64, and model Kate Moss is 38. I want to say happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it is yours today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Coming up, we are going to have a part of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, and first we'll hear from Coastal Computers. It's where you, if you've been doing something with computers, this is where you should be right here.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed, let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And can I say this honestly? It's always been sort of a half-baked holiday, and I mean that, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way towards Martin Luther King Jr. Anyway, it's a federal holiday. What's a federal? You mean that everybody that works for the federal government is a day off? Kind of a, you know? Hey, we respect you, but not too much. Okay, so I've never quite understood it. Yeah, I never quite got it, but okay. I'm glad we're here together today on Monday, and it's going to be a nice day. We're going to have cool weather all week, though, so we're down now in the 60s. We forget the 70s stuff is gone for now, maybe for the whole winter, even though we've had the most amazing 2 months in the whole wide world with the 0.18 inches of rain. Absolutely zilch. So it's going to be interesting. 16th day of January. Half a month's already gone. The year, what happened to last year? And now the half of this month is gone. I can't keep up. All right, we're going to get to some news. We've got some things to talk about. We're also going to get some great music. And this is from, I decided, okay, well, let's see what was nominated for the Golden Globes. And so I have what I could get. I have The Living Proof by Mary J. Blige. I have The Keeper by Chris Connell. I have Hello, Hello by Elton John. And I have Stevie Wonder once again. So anyway, that's what's in our forecast right there. Let me do this right now because it's lunchtime and you want to get there. Now, don't forget tomorrow. I'm going to remind you today in case I forget tomorrow because sometimes my brain, you know, it's not. Taco Tuesday's tomorrow at Spencer's Fresh Market. So you want to get the tacos. Taco two for a bone. Taco Tuesday. Can't beat it. All right. Spencer's has some great things going on right now. You only got a couple days left for this great sale with a value pack of a beef tri-tip for just $2.99 a pound. Crystal Milk is two for $5.98. And they have anything else you need to get there. And they always have the greatest produce because John's background was produce, you know, and he was working for Williams Brothers years ago. So they have 99 cents a pound for broccoli crowns and 10 cents a pound for bok choy or Napa cabbage. Two things you might have said to yourself often. I don't know about that bok choy or Napa cabbage, but go ahead and give it a shot at that price and see if you can make something out of it. Look up the Food Network on the recipe. I have no idea. Hey, we got cookies on sale. Don't forget, the 2 days either, park $99, available through June 1st, 2012 at Disneyland. You can buy tickets right there at Spencer's Fresh Market. And they got free stuff up here. They got dollar off this, free up that. And then don't forget your IGA stuff, because the IGA stuff is absolutely good stuff. And it'll save you a bundle. IGA vegetables, sweet corn, you know, and beans and that kind of stuff, 79 cents a can. IGA white paper plates, just $2.99. And we have, and you want to get ready again for this coming weekend. And tonight, on NBC, is it? At Betty White's 90th birthday celebration. So that's worth a paper plate. And they have, here's some other stuff, mac and cheese, 59 cents. Popcorn, two for $3. Here's wide noodles for lasagna, $1.49. And here's one of the most obvious things in the whole wide world. There are people that will tell me that I like a certain kind of, it's they call it ketchup now, even though it's supposed to be catsup. I like this kind of ketchup. I have to tell you the truth. I'm not that fussy about ketchup. Anyway, but you might like this one the best. $1.19 for IGA tomato ketchup in a 24-ounce size. A squeezy bottle or pour, whatever you want to do. All right, they got the Spencer's Own Italian sausage, which are always wonderful, for $2.99 a pound. And then everything else in Hawaii where you need, including the stuff in the service deli. So once again, we have things coming up this weekend. You want to say, hey, I'd like to have some wings or something. How about some boneless chicken wings for just $2.99 a pound? And they have a fresh chicken salad for $4.99 a pound. Then they got all the cheese and everything. They got these great pizzas. Noble Roman's Take and Bake Pizza, two for $10. Just bake it yourself and enjoy. So that's what's going on at Spencer's Fresh Market, your hometown market, where freshness is local. Today's program is being brought to us in part by, and we thank her very much, Carol Phillips, who's the doctor of Fix Your Mouth. Okay? And so she's from Swiss Dental Center, and so she wants you to come by and have an estimate. Okay? And say, hey, here's what we can do for you. And really, it has to do with your health. It has to do with your well-being. It has to do with how you look. It has to do with how you eat. It has to do with all that kind of stuff. And so this whole new thing of tooth implants are just absolutely amazing to me. Anyway, and Dr. Carol will make it even more amazing for you. Let's hear from her now.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Herring? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
They sailed you into paradise. They stunned you with the grand illusion. Now the legacy continues. Styx Live.
Let's get it on.
January 26th at 8, Shumash Casino Resort. The news is out. Styx is back with an all-new show. Come sail away again. Styx. January 26th at Shumash Casino Resort. Styx. Live. Reserve seats on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. Welcome to the world of Styx.
Thank you.
be a long, long journey. It's gonna be an uphill climb. It's gonna be a tough fight. It's gonna be some lonely nights. But I'm ready to carry on. So glad the worst is over, 'cause it almost took me out. I can start living now. Oh, I feel like I can do anything. Yeah. And finally, I'm not afraid to breathe.
Mary J. Blige, and that's from of course, The Help. That's called The Living Proof, and so that was in the Golden Globes last night. I'm also going to wait. Don't get this. I don't know why all of a sudden this started acting up on me. We also have from Machine Gun Preacher, The Keeper by Chris Connell, and I also have from Romeo and Juliet, Hello, Hello by Elton John. Sir Elton John to you, Benica. All right, sir. All right, so we got. I guess we should go over. We could do this real quick here. Let me. Let me get organized here a minute. Let me see what's going on here. Okay. Let's see. I can see. Okay. Sorry. My little player thing's doing weird things to me lately. Hey, Benica. We'll show you who's boss. We already knew that. Here's the winner's list right here. Oh, I wasn't sure if I heard it. Here's the winner's list right here. It's just, you know, Picture Drama, The Descendants, which is really cool, George Clooney. And then Picture Music for Comedy, The Artist. So they're saying that the artist and the Descendants are probably going to be vying head and head, head and shoulders, head and toes, head and knees and toes and shoulders and neck for the Academy Awards. Actor drama, actor in the drama, George Clooney, The Descendants. Actress drama, Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady. Director, Martin Scorsese for Hugo. Actor in Musical for Comedy, Jean Dordain for The Artist. Actress Music for Comedy, Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn. Television series drama, Homeland. Series musical or comedy, Modern Family. Actor drama, Kelsey Grammer. Actress drama, Claire Danes. Actress musical or comedy, Laura Dern. Actor musical or comedy, Matt LeBlanc. Miniseries or movies, Downton Abbey on Mashpee's Theater. Actress miniseries or movie, Kate Winslet and Mildred Pierce. And actor miniseries or movie, Idris Elba for Luke. Then they had the funny. They had the dresses that go, you know, they grab the women by the shins there, you know what I'm saying? By the ankles almost, you know. That was the dress thing this year. And so it's, I don't think it has to do with fashion, really. You know, I don't want to be like I'm a fashion guy, and I'm not, you know, and I'm a straight man, so I can't understand fashion anyway. But the idea is that they have the you know, what they have at these awards is it's kind of showpiece costumes by, you know, these designers. Is my opinion of it. It's not, you're not gonna walk around seeing other people in this stuff anywhere. My opinion. So anyway, that's nice. So Golden Globes is okay. And everybody's holding their breath with Ricky Gervais, and you know he's he's something. And this was funny too because it was said that everybody sits there in, almost in fear of that they're gonna be the target of something he has to say. Anyway, I find the man funny. I think he's cute. But here, this is interesting. This is here. The Golden Globes for the third time said, "Come and do this." He says the Globes are just like the Oscars without all the esteem. The Globes are the Oscars. What Kim Kardashian is to Kate Middleton: a bit louder, a bit trashier, a bit drunker, and more easily bought. anyway, football. All right, so now we have the division championships are coming up Saturday. And I have to tell you this, and again, I don't claim it to be any more of a sports a guy authority than I do a fashion a fashionista. But I know that I've heard enough interviews with pro football players that have said this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why do you put the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl? Because nobody wants to get hurt. You know what I mean? Here you got teams that are going to be, got players that are going to be in the Super Bowl, and they don't want to risk getting hurt. So I know that they try to not play those players as much, you know. But I don't know. Still seems kind of weird. Okay. I could do without the Pro Bowl anyway. And I don't say that in a disparaging way. It's just that if you watch football and you know who's really great when you're watching football all year, I suppose they should have just like an award show or something for these guys. You know, it's because right now it's award show time anyway in Hollywood. So just drag them all out to Hollywood and say, here, you get a golden football or whatever because you're really good. Something like that. That's my thought. All right, now this I find. They've now confirmed, by the way, on this cruise ship, the Costa Concordia, they now have 5 confirmed dead, and they still have 17 still missing. Now, they're hoping upon hope for, like, they found a Filipino couple that were newlyweds, and they found them, and they found another, two other guys, older men, that had gone to their, what do you call it, the lifeboat station that didn't exist at the time. And so they went to the mess decks where they were told to go first if there was an emergency, but of course, everybody's eating dinner and had evacuated the mess decks. I mean, what a nightmare this whole thing was. Just absolutely insane. Anyhow, now this is kind of interesting. Year of Discord to end with. Is there, what's the Discord at Hearst Castle? I read this, I didn't understand. For seven decades, two names have been inexplicably linked with permanently separated by fiction and fury, William Randolph Hearst and Citizen Kane. I see. Years of Discord to end with Kane. Anyway, but I think it's just interesting the Hearst family is doing this, and I kind of respect them for it. And, you know, William Randolph Hearst might not have been just the nicest of men, you know, when you have an empire like he had and how he built it. So anyway, Citizen Kane by Orson Welles, they're going to show on the big screen at Hearst Castle. And they, because you know, ostensibly it was about William Randolph Hearst. And so Orson Welles wrote it and starred in it and directed it and did the whole thing. And so they're going to actually show it, which is kind of cool, I think. That's considered maybe the best movie, American movie ever made. So, and you know what's interesting? Discovering the Dream, Hearst Castle. What's the name of the movie that's been there now for 10 years? Discovering the Dream, whatever. And that's rated, you know, right up there as far as the rating people. They like that. Well, they love this. And guess who's going to introduce it and all that? Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was up at the castle, you know, clowning around, doing whatever he did. So there was it. All right, now we got to talk about this. I'm troubled. I'm deeply concerned, and I'm troubled about the whole thing. We're talking about what happened to the Marines and then peeing on the bodies and of the Taliban. And so there's righteous indignation, of course, was immediately expressed by Leon Panetta and Hillary Clinton. Here's part of it. You have to remember, though, there's something playing in the background to all this. So we can talk about, is it right or wrong that such a thing is done? And we already pretty much assume what we think we assume. But here's the thing. There's more to behind the scenes of this than meets the eye. Because part of what's behind the scenes of this is something that's making me very, very nervous, I have to tell you truthfully. And it smacks so much of what we did in Vietnam. And everybody says, well, you can't really compare the two. You could compare the ending if it has a bad ending. You can compare the ending. It's kind of like if you compare the ending to what happened in Cambodia, to what's happening, it could happen in Iraq. You know what I'm saying? Here's the bad ending that could happen. I don't see how it's not going to happen if they continue the discourse they're having right now about Afghanistan. They're talking about having the Taliban as part of the peace process, as part of the negotiations for peace. So the Taliban aren't speaking out against it. They're not raising all kinds of holy heck about it, you notice, because it's kind of like, just give us the chance to get the Americans out of here, and then it'll be game time. And there's no doubt in my mind, there's no question or doubt in my mind that if we allow, and we will, allow the Taliban to be part of the peace process as we involve the North Vietnamese in that peace process. But it wasn't just that we involved the North Vietnamese in the peace process. They have no choice with the Taliban. The Taliban are just sort of part of the population. The North Vietnamese weren't part of the South Vietnam's population, but when they reached the peace accords, they said the North Vietnamese can stay wherever they are at the moment, which was surrounding every major city, including Saigon. And so the Americans left it a month later. They just said, okay, fine, let's get it done. Within a month later. I can't see this not happening in Afghanistan. So now the question becomes, and here's was a very interesting special to the Washington Post, a captain named Timothy Kidd, who served in Iraq and Afghanistan from 2009 to 2011, a senior membership associate with Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. So his thing was, well, you've undone everything I did when I was there, because he was in the same division. And he said, we tried to establish trust and everything with the Afghanis and whatnot. But here's the thing that's always has to be understood. He wasn't there the same time they were there. Here's a comment he made. This is a man who's in the service and obviously was in combat. And he said here, all right, right here is what he says. Many civilians I've talked to about the incident act like it's no surprise. Hollywood and media depictions have convinced them that war is filled with atrocities such as this one and that, but that for lack of courage, they hear more about them, lack of coverage. But those who have worn the uniform don't excuse these acts by saying war is hell. There's a right and a wrong in war, and we probably know that better than anybody else because we've seen life or death consequences of our decisions. With all due respect to the captain, that's the whole problem with war, is we've determined that there's a right and a wrong in it. We've decided, okay, we're going to establish these rules of war that say there's something right or there's something wrong about the way you kill people and what you do after you've done that. You know, there's no possible way to express to people that have not been through it. And these guys have been through it and through it and through it and through it on multiple tours. You have to realize what we're creating in these men, except for the captain here, God bless his heart. We have to understand, I think, what we're creating with these men and these Marines, especially Marines, who are taught to be the worst of the worst of the worst of the baddest, baddest, bad. And to have these multiple tours and what's happening to people. And you know, it's not a simple matter of, you know, even if you look at the Vietnam War and say, well, okay, but most people had one tour of duty there. You got back. Some people were half crazy, but, you know, a lot of people were fine. And they got through it, you know. But this is just multiple over and over and over again. So I'm going to have to say to you as a person who was in combat, and though I never, we were not, how do I say this to you? We seldom saw the people that we killed up close and personal, and it really, because they were always 50 feet away in some bushes. But when I heard that this had happened, my reaction was, before everybody raises hell, and you get take the political part of it out, you take the Secretary of State and the defense guy, and you take them out of the picture and get the politics out of it, and then say, okay, on face value, how do you feel about this? I had no feeling about it whatsoever. It was neither right nor wrong to me. It was men who had just been in combat. You know, it's not like the movies. It's not, even when the movies have blood and gore and everything, you know, it's still not like the movies. It's not like the movies because it's personal. And it's somebody you know, and it could be a friend of yours, or it could just be somebody that's in your unit. Doesn't matter. And people cannot imagine the gore and the horror of what happens to people that are shot by bullets and guns and stuff. You know, it's just incredible, you know, to have a friend that you next see in pieces. And people's reactions to that are going to be just varied, you know, they're going to be varied. But you can tell we already have a political dog in the fight in this whole war thing that we're doing right now and how we're waging war. What would really torque off the Muslim community in general, but what would it do for American soldiers if you said to the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, you said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dip every one of the bullets that we fire at you in pig fat. And then when it hits you, guess what? Now, it would cause an outrage, but what would it do as far as helping us preserve and protect ourselves? A lot. It would be dehumanizing to the enemy. It would be debilitating to the enemy to know that that could happen to them. But we don't do it. We go, okay, there's a right and wrong in war, as this captain said. It makes no sense there's a right and wrong in war. To try to make sense of, to try to put rules into warfare is absolutely preposterous. And it makes it more preposterous when you say, well, okay, they should follow it, we should follow it, but they don't have to because they won't. It doesn't jive. It just doesn't work, you know. And there are, you know, there were rules. There was the Geneva Convention, which none of these people were signatory to, so it has nothing to do with them. But if you want to take the people that signed the Geneva Convention that says, okay, you can't use napalm against people per se, you can't just drop it on people indiscriminately to burn them, yet we certainly did that. You can't use white phosphorus for any reason except to try to penetrate a metal vehicle or thing. But the Viet Cong, the North Vietnamese, and the Americans use white phosphorus indiscriminately. You can't use 20-millimeter cannons against personnel, but you can use them against, you know, vehicles. There was no vehicles in the Mekong Delta. Every boat had a 20-millimeter cannon. What the hell were we using that on? I mean, it's just, you know, there was all these rules that were set up to say, okay, somehow we're gonna try to make more sense out of this. And what it really was an effort to do was to try to somehow humanize war in a way that it wasn't so much how you actually conducted it per se, but when you had prisoners and things, you know, it was the idea was if you could make people realize that they're supposed to act a certain way when they're conducting war and waging war, then maybe when, you know, you have prisoners and stuff, you'll be more humane to them. Did that work? Don't think so. Not yet. So my answer to you is still, you'd have to march a mile in these guys' boots to say, okay, this is why they did it, you know. And I can understand how you could be so frustrated and so angry that, you know, if you'd been, really devastated by an ambush or something, and you just said, screw it, and at the end of it, you peed on people. It's like, you know, remember back in the days of raping and pillaging? If so far that I've heard, Americans aren't doing that. So that's pretty good. Anyway. But all I ask of you is, and you can have your opinion of it, and that's okay. But all I say is, don't forget there's a political dog in the fight. You know, it has to do with the Taliban and being involved in whatever peace talks they're going to have with the Afghans, in which case they're going to just sign their own death warrant. But okay, whatever. And then Kathleen Parker today says, let's cut the pious baloney, shall we? You know, this whole thing about Mitt Romney and what he had to say and all that, and it was so taken out of context. The quote actually went, I want individuals to have their own insurance. That means the insurance company will have an incentive to keep you healthy. It also means that if you don't like what they do, you can fire them. I like being able to fire people who provide services to me. You know, if someone doesn't give me this good service I need, I want to say, you know, I'm going to get somebody else to provide that service to me. And it was so taken out of context. He likes to fire people. Mr. Santorum dropped out today because, you know, he was one of the people who was riding that stupid bandwagon. Okay. And I'm not going to say I'm a disinterested party. I'm going to say I'm a flabbergasted party to watching this whole process. Truly, like, holy cow. It makes me crazy. All right. A number of people writing about the bags, and the consequence of banning the bags. All right. I'm going to find out. I'll talk to Karen Veely. I need a copy of the ordinance is what I need. I need a copy of the ordinance that's actually been passed and what it says about the plastic bags, single-use plastic bags. So does that, because I don't know the answers to these questions, does that mean that you can't have a bag to take stuff out, you know, out to your car, but you can, but are you going to be able to use a plastic bag to put your meat in? Because, quite frankly, if you're using cloth bags and you have to take a bleeding package of meat and stick it in your bag, you know, that's just odd. You know, besides disgusting, that's just odd. So, you know, will there be things that you can put things in? Or, for instance, if you put your produce in individual bags and everything, which obviously makes it a lot easier when people check out to know how many you got and what the pounds and what the weight and all that thing is, are they going to ban those too? Or is it just the carry-out bags? I don't know. I asked somebody today that was on the horn with me earlier, and I said, you know, I had this idea, and Nancy and I were talking about it. She said, I don't know. She said, if I have a cloth bag, which we do take reuse bags, and we take our cloth. But see, some of the bags are plastic and reinforced plastic, and so that kind of dissuades one from doing all this. But, you know, I mentioned this on Friday. Can you take a cloth bag? And my wife said, well, I just would wash it in the washing machine and dry it, you know, after I used it. But, you know, can you do my idea and stick it in the micro zapper, add a little water in a dish, you know, make sure you don't zap your microwave, and zap the bag, you know, will that kill the germs? I would think it would. I don't know how long you have to do it. A minute? I don't know how long you have to. Oh, it takes to cook germs. Anyhow, it's all very much, oh, very amazing. I feel like somebody threw a bucket of water on me and I'm in Oz. All right, other things that are going on. Once again, it's funny that, you know, every now and then, for instance, we had some people the other week that had to be saved at Ragged Point. They you know, got in a place somehow, you know. I think what they do is they go to Ragged Point, they go down the path, which is hideous to begin with. And then they say, well, we'll climb up here a little bit and see if we can, you know, see how far we can get up here and all that. And then they get stuck, you know, and so then the helicopters have to come and save them and all that. But if you had to say, if you had a, we had a collective little chart here that said, where are more people hurt and rescued from and whatever than any other place on the Central Coast when it comes to seaside cliffs, where is it going to be? Pirate's Cove. You know, if you need to see somebody naked that bad, walk down the beach and go see them. Walk down the thing, however that path works, I've never been on. But just get down there and oogle and ogle and do all that kind of stuff. Just falling off a cliff to try to look over the thing. So anyway, rescuers pull the victim of a cliffside fall and two people had climbed down to help the person. This is once again Dinosaur Caves Park in the Pismo Beach on Sunday evening. I'm not sure if this was Dinosaur Caves, but okay. Because it's, anyway, just after 5 o'clock, they said the person was reported to have fallen an estimated 60 feet from the cliff. With the help of firefighters, a lighting truck and all that, the victim's name is not disclosed. About an hour later, the agency reported that rescuers also pulled up two people who had climbed down to help the fallen victim. They were not hurt, and their names were not disclosed. Is the cliff at Dinosaur Cave 60 feet? Anyway, maybe this was a dinosaur. That's not where it usually is. Anyway, so that's what I was telling you about. Another thing going on. Any things that are happening? Oh, we got this hour went, which is not surprising because we're going to have some more Martin Luther King Jr. stuff. We'll have a redo a part of his speech. We're going to have his I've Been to the Mountaintop speech after we have the news. And later we'll have a real short excerpt, and this was of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, and then Walter Cronkite coming on here. If I can bring that up where Amy put it. So we'll see. All right. This reminder, we're brought to you in part today by Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips, who can take care of your jowls and the teeth therein. And so really, if you want to find out how great life can be without dentures and all that kind of stuff, and if you just walk around with no teeth and say, you know, I could use some teeth, this corn on the cob is not working that good without teeth, then you can go see Dr. Carol and she'll fix you. Right now we're going to join CBS News and find out what's going on in our world right now.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Martin Luther King Jr. was known for his nonviolent protest marches and for the power of his words. And today on his federal holiday, birthday commemoration, that's New Orleans, another parade in St. Louis, President Obama in Washington.
What he really said was that all of us can be a drum major for service. All of us can be a drum major for justice. There's nobody who can't serve.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day also for politics.
I want to express my admiration for a man who stood for the principles of equality under the law as required by our Constitution. I think he's a great man, appreciate his service for our country.
That's Mitt Romney. King was assassinated in 1968. Had he lived, he'd be 83 today. John Huntsman is out, which leaves five Republicans who still compete for the presidential nomination.
John Huntsman's family stood at his side as he told reporters he's ending his run for the White House.
I am suspending my campaign for the presidency.
Huntsman spent most of the GOP presidential race at the back of the pack. The Utah Republican is throwing his support behind the candidate he now says is the strongest.
That candidate is Governor Mitt Romney.
The candidates will get a chance to take on Romney directly tonight when the Republicans debate in South Carolina.
CBS's Danielle Nottingham. The scandalous report that the captain of the Costa Concordia decided to buzz the beach with the cruise ship to make a stately passing for the tourists is true, says the CEO of the company, Pierre Luigi Foschi.
He wanted to show the ship to nearby this island of Giglio, and so he decided to change the course of the ship to go closer.
Too close. Rocks tore a 160-foot-long gash in the hull below the waterline. Ever had one arm in a cast? Your other arm starts working a lot better, doesn't it? Well, now there's research.
This new study finds that your brain will compensate for your injured limb, transferring skills to that other arm. Nicholas Langer, the Master of Science at the University of Zurich.
An interesting side effect of wearing a string or a cast on the right limb was that the subjects started to use the left hand much more frequently to deal with daily life situations.
He says their brain research suggests that by restricting use of that healthy limb, the injured arm may recover more quickly. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Tragic in Washington, D.C. A baby dumped on the doorstep of a home in northeastern Washington died from the cold. Temperatures were in the mid-20s. A little girl just a week to a month old. Extra tragic because Washington has a safe haven law which allows someone who wants to get rid of their child for whatever reason to drop them off safely at any hospital or firehouse. This is CBS News.
Vitus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-713-3379. That's 1-800-713-3379. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-713-3379. That's 1-800-713-3379.
It's a hack attack against Israel.
Suspected hackers disrupted the websites of Israel's stock exchange and national airline. Technology Minister Daniel Hershkovitz says it's cyber terrorism, and Israel is taking steps to stop it.
The state of Israel has established a special cyber organization to prepare for such things.
A man claiming to be a Saudi hacker said the aim of the attacks is to harm Israel. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Doctors in India have reported the country's first cases of totally drug-resistant tuberculosis. Nothing in the medicine cabinet to kill it. Researchers have spoken of this day for years, dreaded the time when an untreatable form of TB might arise. And now experts in India fear it may be more widespread than they've thought. The World Health Organization resists the label totally drug-resistant, but the CDC believes it's true. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
I'm talking with Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. How would you define the quality of the scanner?
The temporal scanner is the only thermometer that has been rigorously tested by thousands of hospitals, with more than 40 peer-reviewed published studies attesting to its accuracy.
What about the value of the product?
The peace of mind from knowing that your family's health is well protected is priceless.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature, available at Costco and other fine retailers.
Battlefield.
try to feed these mouths that have never known singing. And before I let one more tear hit the ground, I will be the one standing between you and the sound of the rounds echoing out, out of the dark. The smoke and the spark aimed at the heart of the flame. The end of the tunnel tonight, my eyes are weary. And before I let one more life get erased from the ashes, I will rise for you and the ghosts of the names, faces and frames, the love and the pain. For you I'll remain, though I'm not keeper of the flame. I am the keeper, yeah. I am the keeper.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis. We got to see it through. When we have our march, you need to be there. If it means leaving work, if it means leaving school, be there. Be concerned about your brother. You may not be on strap, but either we go up together or we go down together. Let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. One day a man came to Jesus. He wanted to raise some questions about some vital matters of life. At points, he wanted to trick Jesus and show him that he knew a little more than Jesus knew and throw him off base. Now, that question could have easily ended up in a philosophical and theological debate. But Jesus immediately pulled that question from midair and placed it on a dangerous curve between Jerusalem and Jericho. He talked about a certain man who fell among thieves. You remember that a Levite and a priest passed by on the other side. They didn't stop to help him. Finally, a man of another race came by. He got down from his beast, decided not to be compassionate by proxy. But he got down with him, administered first aid, and helped the man in need. Jesus ended up saying this was the good man, this was the great man, because he had the capacity to project the eye into the thou and to be concerned about his brother. Now, you know, we use our imagination a great deal to try to determine why the priest and the Levite didn't stop. The times we say they were busy going to a church meeting, an ecclesiastical gathering, and they had to get on down to Jerusalem so they wouldn't be late for their meeting. At other times, we would speculate that there was a religious law that one who was engaged in religious ceremonial was not to touch a human body 24 hours before the ceremony. And every now and then we begin to wonder whether maybe they were not going down to Jerusalem, down to Jericho rather, to organize a Jericho Road Improvement Association. That's a possibility. Maybe they felt that it was better to deal with the problem from the causal root rather than to get bogged down with an individual effect. But I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. You see, the Jericho Road is a dangerous road. I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, I can see why Jesus used this as the setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 1,200 miles, or rather 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 2,200 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road. In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. You know, it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking. And he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to seize them over there, lure them there for quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by, and he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That's the question before you tonight. Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to my job? Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all of the hours that I usually spend in my office every day and every week as a pastor? The question is not if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. Let us rise up tonight with a greater readiness. Let us stand with a greater determination. And let us move on. In these powerful days, these days of challenge, to make America what it ought to be, we have an opportunity to make America a better nation. And I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing, and I said, "Yes." The next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. Said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960. And students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962 when Negroes in all Bennett, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. The black people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me, now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, "We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully. And we've had the plane protected and guarded all night." And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, the talk about the threats that were out, or what would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place, Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
But when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Feet up feeling light, heading out to see the sights. Ain't life a man a splendor thing? Ducking up and down, all those crazy sights and sounds, bounce around like puppets on a string. Never gonna find anything to change my mind. Famous last lines of the moon. Just when you think you're a chain with just one link, something comes to tonight.
Hello, hello, hello.
Elton John. From Romeo and Juliet, and nominated for a Golden Globe, but didn't win it.
Hi, everybody. Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network. We'll just have one more little excerpt. It'll only take about a minute and a half from Martin Luther King's life. Come back in a little bit. Good, Bill. I thank you for joining me today. And well, it's cooler, as we well know. And then tonight it's going to be really cold. And then tomorrow night it's going to be colder, as in 29 degrees. Which is not a number that computes right here in Central Coast. They're not here in the hinterlands. You know, maybe in the North County. Let me see what I have here that I haven't shared with you yet, and I should have, and I want to. This is cute, I think. We're going to find out. It's going to be after a little commercial. All I have is a headline here from CNN. It says, "What your vase couldn't say at the Globes." So, let's see what happens.
Had enough of paper jams? Switch to Ophelos. We build them tougher for smooth, jam-free paper shredding every time. So step up to Ophelos, the world's toughest shredders.
Tonight, you get Britain's biggest comedian hosting the world's second biggest award show on America's third biggest network. It's four.
These actresses did stunning work, heartbreaking, true and bold. The four will go home empty-handed, one will take home gold.
They actually gave me a list of rules. I'm going to ignore them, but I thought it'd be good to read them out, okay? This is real, okay? No profanity. That's fine. I've got a huge vocabulary. No nudity. See, that's a shame, because I've got a huge vocabulary. No smut or innuendo. And I'm not to libel anyone. And I mustn't mention Mel Gibson this year. Not his private life, his politics, his recent films, and especially not Jodie Foster's Beaver. I haven't seen it myself. I've spoken to a lot of guys here, they haven't seen it either, but that doesn't mean it's not any good. Our next presenter is the Queen of Pop. Not you, Elton. Sit down. She's all woman. I'll give you some clues. She's always Vogue. She's a material girl. And she's just like a virgin. Please welcome Madonna.
If I'm still just like a virgin, Ricky, then why don't you come over here and do something about it? I haven't kissed a girl in a few years.
Le damos las gracias a Bob Iger y a Paul Lee en ABC.
Thank you to the Modern Family writers who are so funny and so sexy.
I'd like to thank Michael Fassbender for taking over the frontal nudity responsibility that I had. Really, Michael, honestly, if you can play golf like this with your hands behind your back, go for it, man. Do it.
There have been 58 men and women before me who received the DeMille Award. People like Gregory Peck, Clint Eastwood, Sophia Loren, Henry Fonda, Mr. Poitier. So I am truly, truly honored that you consider me worthy of being in that company.
Have you seen The Tourist yet?
Have you?
No. As I was on my way in, I noticed some very angry religious people outside with big placards threatening us all with brimstone and pestilence and perdition for our sins. What they don't realize is we have Ricky.
I forgot he read that list. Anyway, that was afterwards rate that PG, okay? So afterwards PG, it's a little late. Here, Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on Monday, and this is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and we celebrate that. And I'm glad you could celebrate it with me. Thanks. Other things going on though. Other things that are happening in our world. We're going to get a little report on how things went on that ship, you know, and some of the survivors and what they had to say. Because I mean, it's like holy cow. And they're saying that this thing could slide off of where it is and go down into the depths.
I don't know how much of it's salvageable at this point anyway, but I suppose some of it is, you know, electronics and important stuff like that. As unemployed Californians struggle to find work, Governor Jerry Brown has proposed strict rules for parents on welfare. Get a job in 2 years or lose their half of cash aid along with training and child care. This is not nice stuff, but that's what it takes to balance the budget, Brown said. Governor's welfare cuts would lop nearly $1 billion off the state's $9.2 billion general fund deficit. We prioritize employment as California faces federal penalties for having too many parents who do not work 30 hours a week. And I know that your first reaction is, well, yeah, you know what I mean. But people should be working and whatnot and getting a job. First off, there's not a lot of jobs out there for people to get. And the people that tend to be in that category tend to be less educated than better educated, so they have a harder time finding employment. And the other thing is the hard part, though. This is where you always have to say, well, wait a minute, suffer unto them the little children. And so you say, well, so a kid who has nothing to do with it, a child who has nothing to do with it, all of a sudden is going to, what, starve? Be homeless? What are they going to do? Here's a concept right here. We're just getting around to this. Schools changing attitudes about boosting self-esteem. For decades, the prevailing wisdom in education was that high self-esteem would lead to high achievement. The theory led to an avalanche of daily affirmations, awards, ceremonies, and attendance certificates, but few, if any, academic gains. Now, as an increasing number of teachers are weaning themselves from what they call empty praise, drawing on psychology and brain research, these educators aim to articulate a more precise and scientific vocabulary for praise that will push children to work through mistakes and take on more challenging assignments, et cetera, et cetera. So they're basically saying, you know, the kids that do well do better if they're praised, and the kids that are schmoes can get the right kind of praise. I was one of those, both. And it might motivate them. Nothing in the world could move me whatsoever from being just a complete fool. But there are kids that can shape up. Now, this is a big story right here. This is really kind of huge and unusual. And part of me says to myself, well, wait a minute. There's a way to kind of figure that out. Then is there or not? All right, so here's what's at the gist of this. Some principals who were picked on Facebook and other social media and whatnot and called things like a hairy sex addict and a pervert, things like a whore and a drug user and a big fag. A girl as a slut with herpes. So what happened was in two cases in Pennsylvania, the principals suspended the kids who were responsible. Now their parents are suing, and it was probably going to go to the Supreme Court, and say, you know what, that's freedom of speech. These kids are at home. They can do what they can say and do whatever they want to. Now, the interesting thing is there is a remedy for this already. There is a remedy for this already. And they can even do it in small claims court. Don't try to get carried away with yourself over it. But if you're a principal and somebody writes that and you say I've been defamed, you know, a warrantless defamation, then you could go to small claims court, which is now good for what, 10 grand? I mean, if parents of a child who decided he's just going to post anything on the internet about his teacher or principal or anybody else, and you were sued for $10,000 if you were parents and that person won, which I don't know why they wouldn't win. I think that would start to have a chilling effect on how parents dealt with their kids and what the kids are doing on the internet, don't you think? I would think. So what's interesting is that we're going to do this back ass words again. We're going to go and say, okay, remedy does a principal have of a school if somebody who is exercising what is truly free speech at home says on a Facebook page, do they have the right to expel them from school because it has nothing to do with school? But it has something to do with them, and therefore it does have something to do with school. So anyway, they're going to find out. Then the other thing is this bullying, this internet bullying. But I would imagine that, once again, don't try to become a billionaire overnight, but if you have a child and they're bullied by somebody on the internet, and that you could go to small claims court and say this is causing this child trauma and it's defamation. That's what I would do. I think it used to cost $5, $10, $15, $20 to file because they got to get served. You got to pay the deputy to serve. All right, so we'll see where that goes, but that's kind of random. All right, flexing muscle. You ready for this? Who knows? This is. I'm waiting to see this implosion, but it's hard to imagine exactly how it's all going to happen. But we'll have a civil war of some kind, and then we'll just have a disaster. But and having us there, we could have been there for another 50 years, would not have changed a darn thing. Would not have changed a darn thing. If you remember when we went over and Slobodan Mislavik was arrested, and he was out to revenge the Christians that were tortured by the Muslims, you know, 300 years before. I mean, that's it was like he was waiting 300 years. Said, okay, now I'm going to get him back. These people have patience. They don't care how much time is involved. They don't care. So you're going to have mayhem anyway in Iraq, whether we're there or not. But here's the next thing. No formal charges have been filed, but here's their flexing the muscle. Baghdad detains U.S. contractors. They have no right to detain them because actually they're working. These are contractors that are within the U.S. embassy walls. Now, of all the things that you would think you would teach a new democracy is, one of the things you would have them understand is that an embassy is sovereign territory. It's sovereign to the country that it represents. And therefore, you have no right to go and detain anybody inside it. God, I mean, do you think we wouldn't like to file into some of the embassies we have in this country and say, excuse me, we just have to arrest you because we know you're a schmo? But anyway, I don't know what the flexing of the muscle is going to prove once again. I don't, you know, they're trying to show, hey, we're tough. Hey, we got sovereignty and whatnot. Well, you just disrespected someone else's sovereignty, so what kind of sovereignty is that? The world's nuts. I'm stuck with it right here in the middle. All right, let me see if I have this thing here I'm going to play. This is our last Martin Luther King Jr. thing. And it's not long. It's a minute and a half. And so part of it will repeat itself, but then what you'll hear is the man who, this was so cute, Amy said, you know, I played this thing this morning that I thought was really cool. Do you know a guy named Walter Cronkite or something? I said, Walter Cronkite, yeah. I know who that is. I'm old. So she goes, oh. Well, here's the thing that he did. I go, okay, and I listened to it and said, okay, can you send that to me and I'll go ahead and play it because it was significant and a very interesting thing. And know this, I was overseas when this happened. I was overseas when Bobby Kennedy was killed. I was overseas when they had the 1968 Chicago riots. It's like the most incredible year that ever happened in America I missed. And to this day, when I see something about 1968 on TV, I have to consume it. I have to understand it. I have to try to say, okay, my mind was not on any of this stuff. You know, my mind was on something else, and not peeing on the enemy. But you know, it's just amazing what happened in 1968. But anyway, here's a little thing that was cobbled together that I thought was significant.
I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound in the neck. Police said they found a high-powered hunting rifle about a block from the hotel, but it was not immediately identified as...
I have a dream. I have a dream.
I have a dream right there. Wow. And so we celebrate this as a federal holiday again, which is perplexing to me always. But what it is, and I don't know what to do. Okay, now, here, I thought we'd get this in because I really thought it'd be important if we can get this to play, right? And this is always a question with this computer, whether when I press the button, it does what it's supposed to do. And so these are comments, hopefully, from cruise ship survivors.
Mario and Nancy Lofaro, Americans who were on that ship. Well, they're on with us live now from Rome. Mario and Nancy, thank you so much for talking with us. We've heard many stories about what happened and what was the scene as people realized that there was a disaster. What can you tell us about where you were and what you experienced when the ship started to list?
Sure. We had finished dinner and we went to see a show in the theater. And the theater is situated in the front of the ship. And about 15, 20 minutes into the show, we heard a very unusual we felt the vibration and heard a grinding kind of noise. And the show stopped immediately. And ironically, it was a magic show. And the performers just literally ran off the stage. And there was silence. And the lights flickered a few times. And then the lights came on, remained on. And we noticed that there were people in the audience that started to leave the theater. We decided to do the same thing. And we eventually found our way up to the top deck so that we can get, you know, an eyeball of what was going on. And we were shocked when we looked over the starboard right side of the ship. We were extremely close to an island. And we started to feel the boat start to list to the starboard side. And it wasn't for at least, in our opinion, 30 minutes or so that there finally was an announcement on the public address system in various languages and in English. They said that everything was under control, that there had been an electrical problem and a problem with the generator, and that everything was under control. My husband and I looked at each other, and we said to each other, they're full of it.
Right. So,
right.
Yes.
We've got to get to our life jackets.
Yeah, and that took 30 minutes for them to even make an announcement that everything was fine. Then take us from there. How long before you realize it's not fine, and how long before they started some coordinated attempt to get you off the ship and to inform the passengers that there was a serious situation?
I'm not sure that I ever heard any announcements about anything being serious until we found our way to our cabin. We got our life jackets. We grabbed
our coats
and our knapsacks. And we went over to the muster station. We asked, are we supposed to muster? What are we supposed to do? And the crew tried very hard, but they kept on telling us they had no information. And it wasn't until, in our opinion, about almost an hour into this ordeal, where finally there was the whistle blow, I guess it's...
The signal for evacuation.
Signal for evacuation,
yeah.
Seven whistles or whatever it
yeah.
was. We got on the lifeboat. And we started to be lowered, but my husband indicated that he thought there would be a problem because of the listing. They had waited such a long time. The boat was listing. It was problematic in terms of deployment. And we, at one point, we were being lowered, and we went sliding off to one side. Everybody fell into one side of the lifeboat, and then we went slamming into the ship. This happened a few times over about 30 seconds, and then finally we were lowered to the water level. And from there, it took a while. Even though we're so close, I think the photographs and video show what proximity, close proximity we were to shore. It took about 30 minutes for us to get to shore. The lifeboats were hitting into each other. It was just chaos.
Yeah.
I think that we were very lucky. I think the only real trauma that we felt where we were in serious danger was that 30 seconds where the lifeboat we were on was banging into the ship and dropped.
And free fall,
that kind of thing. Other than that, we got off safely. I think that what disturbed us most was when we met other people and they were telling us that they couldn't get off the boat for several hours, that they boarded a lifeboat, then they were told to get off the lifeboat.
Because there was a problem with the deployment of the lifeboat at that point. We just feel that if we were evacuated sooner, it would have been a lot more systematic, a lot easier, and, you know, there wouldn't have been as much chaos and maybe less injuries.
In talking with other people who we heard were on the ship up until almost, you know, midnight, where they were being taken off the ship finally when the ship was at an 80-degree angle and people were sliding and they had to climb things and step in water and do all sorts of things. We feel very fortunate, and we look at those photographs in that video, and we're just totally blown away that something like that can happen. They shouldn't have been that close to the land, as far as we're concerned. And the fact that they didn't make any announcements for a while, that they didn't deploy earlier, that there was absolutely,
no
in our
communication
opinion, no communication, lack of training. The crew struggled. They
crew
tried, but they didn't seem to know
well
what to
as
do.
They could.
Thank you, Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Sir, for patching the big ugly in the fabric of America. Hope you have a great Monday evening. Don't forget Betty White's special show is on at 8 o'clock, her 90th birthday celebration. That's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And then you and I'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Now it doesn't make me feel